All right, let's jump in. So all week I was kind of like, I'm not sure what we're supposed to say this week or what would you have us say. I knew we were doing the picnic. I was like, you know, I'm not an hour-long teaching, line upon line. I love to do, but I'm not necessarily, I don't know if that's what we're supposed to do. So it was Thursday or Friday. I was like, I think I know what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to say, and this is not intended to be an in-depth, line-upon-line teaching. It is mostly a flag, a proverbial flag in the dirt to say this is part of who we are. So for some of you, you may understand what I'm talking about. For some of you, you may not understand what I'm talking about, and that's okay, because there will be weeks in the future where I will slow down a little bit and go in depth of more what I'm talking about. Okay, so if you don't understand, that's okay. If it's too fast, if it's too broad, that's okay. This is mostly, again, a flag in the sand to go, this is who we are. What?
I just never heard that term.
Flag in the sand? Yeah.
Beachhead.
It's a thing?
It's a beachhead, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. This is before heaven. This is before the principalities.
Yes.
And this is before the witnesses of the body. That this is who we are.
Yeah.
I asked Sarah last night, was it last night? Mm-hmm. Hey, how do you feel about just sitting up here with me and interjecting? She was like, what are you talking about? So she's going to interrupt and jump in at any time she wants to. Introduction. Right?
Yep.
We want you to. Is your mic working?
It's working great.
Okay, great. It is our desire to take the messages that have transformed us over the past 20 plus years and pass them on to others. We do not believe that we have totally grasped and understood the depth of the messages, nor do we presume to think we have it all figured out. We have much to learn. We simply make it our aim to continue in the discussions and the discovery of the Lord's hearts, plans, and ways. And we want to do this with the people who desire the same. I thought you were going to interrupt right there. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm also reading the notes for the first time.
I know. I actually didn't want her to read them because sometimes Sarah's at her best when she's just flowing. And you just poke her, and she responds, and she doesn't overly think and, you know, doesn't psych herself out. We have been in a place for 20-plus years where we've received messages and listened to messages and delved into these messages that have transformed us. That's mostly what I'm trying to say. And we don't presume to think we have those messages wrapped up in a bow in their totality and understand them perfectly. And we are the people to now say them. However, at the same time, it's like somebody's got to be saying them
right.
As best we can in weakness and humility and honesty. And we want to be one of those groups that are saying them. Not the group, one of the groups. There's a big difference in the difference a preposition can make, right? We want to be a group, not the group. Does that make sense? We desire that the Lord would raise up many groups all over this city that would contend for his purposes and labor in the messages that have transformed many of us. We want to be a part, not a part. Make sense? There's a country song in there I'm going to write someday about being a part, not a part. Moira will love it. Yes, that is the new song. Yes. Revelation. We want to move forward, holding fast the pattern of sound words. We've talked about this briefly already, and when we talked about having a sound mind, the pattern of sound words, which have pointed us to sound doctrine that have transformed our lives. And I got a couple of Timothy verses there. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Now, I'm slow to put these verses on there because I'm not trying to say we have been entrusted with. I'm not trying to communicate all of that. That's weird, and that's not accurate. But I am trying to say. We have been in an environment to sit and listen for 20 years. And not false humility. We have picked up things along the way. And we want to open our mouths and share it, not just with the next generation, the whosoever. That's in Hebrews? Good. 2 Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. See, the majority of what we will talk about will fall under five broad core messages. These are not the only messages we care about, for we care about the entire Word of God, but rather these are the messages that can easily be forgotten or neglected in the church. These messages are the call to the first commandment, the understanding of the end times scenario, the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's plan and strategy regarding the prayer movement, and the prophetic storyline for our geographic region. We want to go after these five areas with boldness, clarity, kindness, tenderness, but conviction. We're not moving, we're not budging on these things because we have seen them in the Word of God. We've seen the fruit of them in the Word of God. We've seen the fruit of them in our lives, and we've seen the fruit of them in many people's lives over the past 20-plus years. And we're not negotiating on these things. Again, those five things, and again, they're very broad. Lots of things can fall underneath these five broad messages, okay? And again, it's not the only thing we care about, but it is what is often overlooked in the body. Not on purpose, but just overlooked, and you end up talking about a lot of other things. The first commandment, you would think it would not be overlooked in the body, but it unfortunately is all too often. To love God with all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. What I mean by the first commandment is everything, the exhortation and encouragement and instruction to give Jesus your all, which is not balanced, which is not perceived man's wisdom. It's actually extravagant response. It's everything. There's nothing balanced about extravagant devotion. They're at odds. There's nothing balanced about all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. And we don't want to shy back from pursuing that in our own lives and calling other people to give him everything. In all that we do, it is an expression of our love for God. May we be a people that lead others into this glorious, life-giving command. I said glorious, life-giving command because it's not a burden and it is not sacrificial giving. It's actually where you find that yoke to be easy. Is in giving the all. Yes. That's when the liberation and exhilaration of being a lover of God takes root and takes place. And you find joy. And we want to call people to it. B, part of the first commandment message includes his love for us. It takes revelation of his love for us to reciprocate that love back to him. In the Word of God, there are many places to delve into his great affection for us. One of the best books of the Bible to discover how he feels about his bride is Song of Solomon. in the grace of God, we will not draw back from talking about the song of all songs. It's in the Bible. It's right there. We can't argue with it. It is infallible, it is inerrant, and it's in the Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we will talk on Song of Solomon as the, there's much to be said, but for time's sake, we will save it for another day. Mostly I'm saying we're going to talk about Song of Solomon. It's transformed our lives. It's transformed her life. Interject anytime you want to.
I will. I don't want to
stop you. Oh, anytime you want to.
I'm trying to figure out how to. Song of Songs is big in my heart. It's dear to my heart. I didn't expect it to change my life, but I'm using big words that I have thought through, or big sentences is what I mean. I have encountered inner healing through Song of Solomon. And it wasn't fast. And I remember the first few times coming here, hearing people with emotion share how this book has ruined them. And I wanted in. And I remember coming into the prayer room on my day off with my highlighters and my commentaries. And I felt nothing. And I was very discouraged. Partly because what am I doing wrong? And I want in on the love of God. And then it's more painful now that I thought I could maybe get in and I'm not in. That was the entrance of my beginning. And so I say that to say, but I didn't give up. I gave it that good hour and I was like, you don't love me. I didn't say you don't. It was more, I'm doing something wrong is what I felt. But I was like, but man, I think I can't not. And I am surprised at how much the little phrases in Song of Solomon, it's like it was the disarming book that got me in a way I did not know, and I can't get out of it. I can't get out of it. I know for me, it is a life aligner line that I will be saying and using till I see his face. And when I slip out of the dialogue or the thoughts that are so powerful in Song of Songs, I get discouraged. I get critical towards myself and towards others. And the thing is, it's so simple to grasp. I think one thing that clicked for me in Song of Solomon is one, you see the gospel all throughout. So it's and the storyline is, and I'm a very practical person. So to be drawn to an allegory doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm just say it straight. Like I've said before, I love Pilgrim's Progress because it's little Christian comes in, here's worldly wise.
Christian symbolized.
Yeah. Or Heinz Fiona Hyper.
Faithful symbolize faithfulness.
Yes. I love the literal, welcome, much afraid.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Good Shepherd, got it. Yep. So why would Song of Solomon that takes a little more diving in be so, why has it touched me? Because it's not so much, I am not the flowery descriptive-y words, but it has, again, this is too much before, but I just want to put a little plug because I am actually more convinced than ever that I will not be letting go of this book. And I cannot. It is crucial for me to keep my heart confident and bold coming before him first. And then crucial for me to be able to see the body of Christ through the lens. And the last thing I'll say is, in a nutshell, although it's so hard to do that, the thing that turned me around was that my little voice and my weakness was enough, that I wasn't disqualified in my growing process, and that I could come to Jesus today, and he wasn't going, why aren't you together yet? That disarmed and dismantled so many of my roadblocks to talking to God. And I realign a ton of times in the day, but mostly without shame now. Even my realigning was I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm doing this. And I'm it has redirected the way the Lord sees me. It's so hard to just not. So Song of Solomon, I can't let go of it. So I'm so glad that we're not letting go of it. And it's the way he sees us. It's the way he sees others. I have been gifted teachings that have changed my life. I have sang them, and I do not exaggerate. I think I have gone through like therapy and counseling in worship with the words and left in a like, whoa. I think I just forgave some people. And I think I just got a little bit more healthy from Song of Solomon.
Yes.
Yep. So we're going to do the first commandment. One of the books, not the only one, but one of them is Song of Solomon. How the bridegroom feels about the bride as she grows and matures, which empowers her to keep talking to him and respond to him. We're going to talk about John 15. We're going to talk about John 17. That whole discourse as well. As the Father loves me, I've also loved you. It's all through the Word of God, but we're not shying back from the call to talk about Song of Solomon. See, we want to challenge and encourage one another to give a wholehearted response demonstrating our love for God. Two heroes of the faith we will always glean from and be inspired by is Mary of Bethany and King David. David was the model of what it means to be after God's own heart, and Mary of Bethany shows us what a person will do when they see the worth of the one standing in front of them. We love the life of David, and we love Mary of Bethany's testimony, memorial that will be talked about forever. It's the call to extravagant devotion, extravagant response to his infinite worth. We celebrate it, we cherish it, we applaud it. It is our ambition because we find freedom and liberty and joy in giving that wholehearted response. Second message, we have first commandment. The second is the end times. In the Word, the Lord highlights the generation the Lord returns and the details of that return in more than 150 chapters. That is more than all the Gospels combined. We will make it our aim to not neglect the very thing he saw fit to emphasize. We love Jesus, and we love the revelation of Jesus, which God gave him to show his servants this thing which shortly must take place. Revelation 1:1. All too often, we think of the book of Revelation as the book of Revelations, as if it is the book of revelations of the end times events. It's actually not the revelation of the end times events. It's not the revelations of dreams and visions and weird things. It's the revelation of a person, and that is the beauty of Jesus. That the book's title is the revelation of Jesus, not the revelation of dreams and visions, the revelation of Jesus. Do we want to be a people about Jesus? Yes. Let's not neglect the chapters that are titled, this is his revelation, the whole thing, not just chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, though there are many descriptions of Jesus to set the stage for the whole part. The whole part is about the revelation of the person and work and majesty and glory and affection of who he is.
I want to say something. I can get intimidated with, like, one, the intensity of the end time story, but also like big words and charts. Like my main thing is like, well, tell me how to keep a heart alive and tell me how to do the Sermon on the Mount. And so we'll have conversations where I'm like, tie it together for me, you know, because I don't. And so one, I want to say I'm a simple girl and I'm a simple girl who wants to keep learning. And so I'll bring that chip in this, yeah. But I 100% am hungry and desperate to have sober mind and clear eyes, and I want to see the beauty of Jesus. Like I don't want to be left out. So if any of you feel in that camp of like, just know that's okay, and we need both. We need each other.
Oh, for sure.
And it's not, you're not one lesser than or the other isn't better than.
No. B. The forerunner message, it's related to the end times, but with a little different nuance. The forerunner message is about preparing people's hearts and minds to be unoffended at the unique dynamics that will take place in the generation the Lord returns. It's not about elitism or being cutting edge, but rather a focus on preparing so that all may be ready. The forerunner message is about preparation. You can put the preparation ministry more than forerunner. Okay? John the Baptist came to what? Prepare. It's right there. Isaiah 40 says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The forerunner message is about preparation, not elitism. It's not about pioneering. It's not about doing something new. It's not about cutting edge. Those are good things, but that's not what the forerunner message is about. The forerunner message is about going out in front of a storm. Not about even going in front of people. It's about going in front of, running in front of this storm that is coming. And he's told us it's coming. And he wants us to know it's coming so that we can prepare. So when I think forerunner message, I think of, John Revere, Paul Revere, right? Paul Revere, what did Paul Revere do? He was screaming, the British are coming, the British are coming. Make ready, prepare. Prepare. He wasn't going, I'm the cool one with the message. I'm the awesome one. I'm the anointed vessel. I'm the cool one with my songs and my... No, it's I am compelled because crisis is coming. How could I not say something? I believe the Lord's inviting every congregation into the forerunner ministry. It makes no sense to me that the Lord would not invite all congregations to be about preparation and learning and gleaning. It is the gospel. It is the announcement of the soon and very return of Jesus. Be ready. Here's 150 chapters to tell you which way's up and which way's down. It's not about cutting edge. And being cool. Though we are cool, yeah. It is not about elitism. It is about inviting all. It's not, the forerunner ministry is not exclusive, it's inclusive. It's about prepare. C, part of the end times, huge component, is we want skill to understand the purposes of God for Israel and how he will bring all that he has promised to pass. We want to marvel at the plan of God to bring Jew and Gentile together in love and all that he has promised to come to pass. For time's sake, we'll keep going. There's much to say. I mean, again, these are just like blips. First commandment, end times, Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount ends with the instruction, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him a wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. We must hear the sayings of Jesus and do them in order to have hearts that stand when the hour of testing comes. You know, we're not always going to say, hey, today we're talking about First Commandment. Today we're talking about end times. Hey, we're talking about Sermon on the Mount today. Because in my mind and in my heart, we've actually been a lot talking about the Sermon on the Mount, even as we've talked about being an earthen vessel and having this treasure in this earthen vessel, the call to godliness, simple living, doing in secret. These are all principles from the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so we're going to talk about different things, and we're not always going to say, hey, today we're talking about God's purpose for Israel, though we'll do some of that, but often it is under, in my brain and in my heart, under one of these big pillars. Within the Sermon on the Mount, we see the call to intercession, the call to holiness, a call to give extravagant offerings to the poor, and the call to live a life of prevailing faith, contending for demonstrations of power. We're going after those four things. First commandment, end times, Sermon on the Mount, and the prayer movement. I love that we have visitors launching off in a prayer room in Wisconsin, right? Keep going. The eternal identity of the redeemed is to be a house of prayer, because being a house of prayer means that God speaks and moves our hearts, and then we speak and move his heart so that he releases his resources on earth. When God names someone, it indicates how they function in the Spirit. And this is true for every, I believe, every congregation, every gathering of the saints. We are called to speak the things that are on his heart and see them take place, which is intercession, which is prayer. In Isaiah 62, the Lord has said he will set watchmen on the wall until Jerusalem is a praise in the earth. Anything? Okay.
Yes, amen.
First commandment, end times, Sermon on the Mount, prayer movement, and then the prophetic storyline. We don't want to draw back from that. 1 Timothy 1:8, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you wage the good warfare. The Lord has gone to great lengths to communicate what he desires to do in this city and region. One of the primary purposes of the prophetic ministry is to give courage to not quit in the pursuit of all of the will of God for families, cities, and regions. The Lord has, it's not the best way to say he's gone out of his way, but that's all I can think of. He's gone to great lengths to communicate what he wants to do in this city and in this region. And to me, it doesn't mean we hear perfectly, we prophesy in part, but I don't want to despise prophecy as well. And I want to take what the Lord has spoken and bring it before him and say, Lord, have your way. Do what you want to do. And to have, I'll say it for me, I would step into arrogant boasting to be like, well, I don't need that. The Lord's like, excuse me. Why'd I do it then? The fact that I did it tells you you need it. That's not all you need, but you need it. You know, it's much like Song of Solomon. I don't need that book. And the Lord's like, it's the greatest song ever written. Yeah, but I don't need it. It's the greatest song ever written. It's the song of all songs. It's the pinnacle of every song that's ever been penned. Maybe you shouldn't snarl your nose at it. And so because it's the song of all songs, I have a hard time believing it is only about natural husband and wife. Couple that with Ephesians 5, and Paul's going back and forth. Well, I'm actually talking about Christ and his bride. I'm very clear and confident that book is talking about the bridegroom and the bride. Much of these things, the end times, I don't need that. The Lord's like, why did I give you 150 chapters then? And we want to respond in humility and go in. We take what you say and what you do for real. And it's our joy and privilege to respond as best we can in humility, in weakness, in deficiencies, like not perfection, but we won't draw back. We put our flag in the sand, proverbial flag in the sand as a spiritual family, and go, we are about these five things. Not only these five things, but we are about more than this, but these five things that are often not focused on within the body of Christ.
I have been surprised by how in the past almost 2 years, but really honestly the past 22 years, but in an unusual way the past 2 years, when I am in a conversation around these things, a fog lifts from me. And I'm like, whether it's a it's usually when I'm surprised that, you know, I stumbled in a conversation that got that way, or I was leading a Bible study on Song of Songs, and I'm like, something good happened, and I want that to keep happening. And especially we have all felt the heaviness and the cloudiness and the discouragement. And I consistently find a opposite. And so I'm eager to listen, to repeat, to sing, to dive in, to tell Jesus. I mean, it helps, you know, like there's so many, but these are the things that I feel like something in my mind. It's the clear, it's the sound mind, I think. Yeah. So I've noticed it. We're in it to an alarming way. Like, wow. Because these things have been less in our conversation.
Yeah. Amen. Let's pray.
And then I need to give practical
suggestions. Yeah, then we'll pray and then give some practical suggestions. Father, we love you. We love your word. We love its entirety. We love the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We don't know the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We don't understand the whole thing. But we love your word. We want to cherish the whole thing, pursue the whole testimony of the word. We want the now word of the Lord in our midst, the word in due season, that what are you saying today? That our spirits would be sharp, that we would be watchful, we would be alert, and we would be found waiting on you, that we would not be dull and lethargic. Lord, and we ask for grace to continue in these messages. Not just these messages, but we ask for these for today. We thank you for the words that have been spoken over the past 40 plus years. And in humility, we want to say yes to them. And we thank you for the fruit that we've already seen in our lives as we have said yes in weakness to them. We say we are not smarter than you, and we don't have a better plan than you have. And if you have spoken it, it is the wise plan, and it is the needed plan. We love you. We love your ways. We look to you. We look forward. And we draw near together. Amen.